Avast, ye turncloaks and traitors, for we have returned for the post show 127. Okay, that's enough of that. We gab. We have the gift of it, some might say, on this podcast. There's quite a little bit in today's episode. House of the Dragon, Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6. The Boys, Season 4 finale. Elusive Samurai, the best anime on TV right now. Quickly followed by a juxtaposition of My Hero Academia, Season 7. Grant talks about Fallout, which he just wrapped up on Amazon Prime. And then his experiences with the unbearable weight of a massive talent, Not My Friendship, the movie, and the movie Long Legs. And then we get into a discussion of horror movies in general, and he hits me with several good recommendations. There's also some fun news interspersed throughout the show. I think that's about it. Grant, hit him with the music. Hey there, Grant.
Hey, David. How are we doing?
I'm swell, my friend. I'm swell. It feels like it's been so long.
I'm
digging the bye week, though. I feel like it you know, the heart grows fonder, as they say.
I agree. Also, the reflection period is a little nicer, too, thinking about, you know,
yeah,
episode here, episode there, you know, kind of doubling up. Kind of nice. Feels like we have more to kind of flesh out in a conversation. We're not like that guessing of like, all right, I guess we'll see you next week. It's like, no, we know, you know, it's, we can put them together and talk about it.
Also, like some shows, My Hero Academia, you kind of need a few episodes to like to have something to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about My Hero in a couple, so we should catch up on that. Are you caught up?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that now?
No,
right off the top?
Not even a little.
No.
Bit. No.
Really?
My Hero can wait, dude. They made us wait for the plot to progress. We'll make them wait for the coverage.
Fair enough.
That's what we call a teaser in the biz. I feel like we can start with one of two things. We got to start with a heavy hitter.
Sure.
I'll let you pick. Because we know My Hero ain't a heavy hitter. we got Hot D, Season 2, yeah. House of the Dragon, Season 2, or The Boys, Season 4 finale.
Ooh. Let's get Hot D out of the way.
Let's get it out of the way. Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6, there's your spoiler warning. Only two episodes left in the season. And also, crazy. I'll note, Grant, this kind of feels like one long episode, 5 and 6.
Yeah, they easily could have been. I guess, you know what, maybe that's a good thing to jump in right in on it. But kind of like the lack of fluidity of the story. Right.
Yeah.
Is a little, and it's not even pacing. It just, you know, because Game of Thrones and like and House of Dragon, like I feel like they've jumped around quite a lot. Just kind of like how this by design, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. the story is like, you know, with the books and like the kind of the POVs angle of it. They did a really cool job replicating that in the live action or in the show.
Yeah.
But this feels like way more freaking slapped together than even like they've normally, like, there, you know, there's been moments in you know, kind of like the show is where like it's not always like pitch perfect or whatever, but this just, and like they're not inherently bad episodes, but it just it feels very like paper mache, you know.
Yeah, it's a little all over the place at times. It's funny though, because I didn't really feel that way the last time we spoke. I just feel like they're coming off of two peculiar weeks, like two episodes in a row that are kind of just like a little meh.
Yeah.
And the tide is really turning on them. Like, obviously there are some controversies specifically at the end of episode 6, but like, I mean, that thing got review bombed. You see that?
No, I didn't actually. I haven't been on the internet much.
Lucky you. You had mentioned last episode, you had talked about how you found like the Hot D Greens, Hot D Blacks subreddit.
Yeah.
Both of them, including the main House of the Dragon subreddit, are just bagging on this show, dude.
Yeah.
You know the internet, though. It's like... It's funny because I was front and center out there leading the mob with my pitchfork on...
Yeah, free folk.
Yeah, no, I wasn't that bad. But, you know, I was pretty critical of season 8 of Game of Thrones. But,
sure.
Like, it feels like they stray a little bit. And people are like, I can't even with this show. Are they trying to ruin it? It's
no,
like,
I
Jesus,
know.
Guys. Easy.
It does, like, again, I'm not trying to be, like, you know, Mr., you know, typical internet guy or whatever. But it... There's been moments in both these episodes, and not in specific, like, you know, the ending of season 6 there, or episode 6, but like, I do feel like every time Rhaenyra is, and I really like Rhaenyra. She's like, you know, her, both her and Allison, and we spoke on this before already, how like this season is just not serving them as characters or actors, you know, at all.
They're both kind of being pushed to the side a little bit.
Yeah, and like I feel like every time I have Rhaenyra on screen, like it feels like there's no, like she acted with such weight in the first season. Like there was just all these moments where like she really had to like, you know, like act, you know, like, yeah. Like I'm not gonna pretend like I know like what I'm talking about, but like you can feel a performance coming through, like of course a great one, and she feels very much like a part of the scenery, like yeah. Every time she's on screen, it's like how, you know, and I know, you know, people would say like, oh, there's other people that have like higher billing than her, but like she's supposed to be like the top billing,
yeah, for you sure
know? like her and Allison, and you know, and then you know Damon is, I would think, is like a close third there, but like I yeah. don't know, it just feels wasteful, you know? Like,
yeah, it's tough because, and I'm not trying to give them an out here.
Sure.
But I will note, like, you look at Damon's plot as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that one of the themes of this season is, like, you take those three main characters that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. all of them, to different extents, are kind of stuck spinning their wheels right now, right?
Yeah,
like, Rhaenyra just can't get traction. She can't get a win at Dragonstone. Allison has been brushed aside on the small council, and Daemon is literally, like, stuck on a side quest.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe, and I might be giving them too much credit here, maybe the point is in the next two episodes, because there's only two left, they're all going to break through and have, like, their big moment. And that'll be the point. Like, it took them time to figure it out, and I don't know. But up to this point, they haven't done a whole hell of a lot.
No.
And no, I think it's, yeah. like, it's been trying on the audience. Damon in particular, I noticed that people are quite irritated with his plot line. I want to go on record and say, like, it may be a little long in the tooth, but I have been really enjoying it.
Yeah, I think it's fun, because I enjoyed everything up until... Not that I didn't enjoy, like, whatever happened at Harrenhal this episode, but I thought they really, like, crescendoed his moments in episode 5.
Yeah.
With where, like, kind of the... just, like, the camera cutting, I thought, was, like, really impressive and, like, really set up moments of suspense of, like... You know, like, they did a really good job of, like, even the audience had no idea what was real and what, like, wasn't.
I
like,
love was, that. I thought that was so cool, dude.
And, like, I think that's, like, the peak of what it's been. And then...
Yeah.
You know, you would almost think that, like, oh, okay, maybe next episode, like, we're gonna come past it a little bit, or maybe it acclimates or whatever, like, he's weathered the storm a bit more, or it's gonna get worse, and it just kind of feels like, oh, we're just retreading, like, the stuff from the previous two.
Yeah.
So, like, again, like, not bad. Like, I do not hate this season by any means.
Same
like,
here.
I'm enjoying it every week. You know, Leon and I look forward to it. You know, scheduled TV, you know, I love that.
I say it every Sunday night to Sam. I'm like, I'm so fucking glad this is on the air.
You know, and I don't know, it's just like, you know, like, and I see, to your point, like, I, again, I understand, I see what's happening with Rhaenyra, and like, you know, the frustration is building and building and building, but it feels like, how, like, even in the in-between moments, is like, can we not, like, get her, like a snippy line of some sort, like... You know, some presence on screen, like, it's very flat, you know, and I don't think it's her, I think it's just kind of, you know, but anyways, but...
Needs a W. She did slap that guy in this episode, the most recent, she said something cool, like, I think it is my fault that you have forgotten to fear me, which was, yeah. like, a nice
yeah.
moment, but
that
not...
That was a great line, yeah.
Not particularly the huge W she needs.
No, not the weight you were looking for.
No. The Damon stuff... Definitely too long. But I was saying to you guys, like, I don't even know if this chick is real. What was her name? Alice?
Alice Rivers.
Alice Rivers. It appears she is real if you mm-hmm. accept the last episode as truth. And my question was, and I don't know if this is fully answered or not, but my speculation is, like, is she real or a witch? Is she driving him crazy? Is it a mixture between her and Harrenhal? And or does his, like, Targaryen lineage and the fact that he's inbred... have anything to do with it. Like, the way the Mad King became mad. In this most recent episode, 6, Daemon's paranoia and threatening the lords of Harrenhal about how he doesn't yeah. trust them and they're trying to, you know, beguile him and this stuff. I was like, oh, that's, like, very much shades of the Mad King. So then it made me think, okay, maybe it's like his Targaryen heritage driving him nuts. So well, I think there's maybe a lot of things going on.
I think, you know, historically, you know, in Game of Thrones and in House of Dragon, like, all, you know, all roads lead to insanity when it comes to Harrenhal. You know, like again, like the stuff with Tywin and Arya, we never really got a touch of that, but like,
no, you that's know, the most time we spent there too.
You know, and a big thing too, like, you know, there could be multiple layers to it. Like, the Targaryens, like, you know, burnt that place to the ground. You know, or what's left of it is due to the dragons, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, like, there's that, you know, that history, you know, of Harrenhal itself and how, like, you know, like, what's the quote, you know, the mortar is made of mud and blood or whatever. Yeah. Like, in, you know, making of the place. So, I don't know, it could be, like, double dipping, like, his heritage and then the place itself.
Yeah.
You know, the association. But it's with her... You know, like, maybe this is, like, a not really a hot take, but it's, like, can we even trust that, like, what Daemon is hearing is, like, the correct thing? Like, you can't really, like, he's
right.
Full-on unreliable narrator. Everything that takes place there, you can't really, you know, trust. So,
which whether, I enjoy, though.
But that's what I mean. So, like, just because that someone said her name doesn't necessarily mean, yeah, that could be him, like, you know, trying to, like, lie to himself, like, or
right.
trying to, like, stay
right.
sane or whatever. So, like, it's hard to say. Her being a witch, like the owl thing, is kind of was very like on the nose and like,
ugh,
too
yeah,
on the nose for Game of Thrones. So I'm almost wondering if this all is still like, you know, a witch, or, you know, whether she is a witch or if this is all just like, you know, the imagery of the castle itself or whatever. But either way, like, again, very long in the tooth, but I'm enjoying what I'm watching. So
yeah, same here.
I love me a spooky castle.
So. I, you know. A lot has been made about episode six, but one thing I want to make note of is, like, and, you know, I don't know, you might say this is on the nose, but I think most people will find it difficult to say it was not captivating when Rhaenyra called that distant Targaryen relative, I think he was a Darklyn, and he got fried by sea smoke. That was live gambling. That was like, I know where they're going with this, and oh my god, is it going to work or is it not? They veer left, they veer right, is it yes, is it no? And it's no. And it's violent as hell. I defy anyone to tell me, oh, I thought that was boring, I actually fast-forwarded through it. That shit
People actually said that?
No, I'm just saying, like, because everybody's bagging on this episode in particular.
Gotcha.
That scene was awesome.
That was great. I felt really bad for the guy. It's interesting, because I think, like, me, when I think about that scene is... I'm thinking of the kind of the psychology of sea smoke in that. I was like, oh, was sea smoke like playing a fucking trick, or like,
or
is that
unsure,
like
maybe
he did accept, but he got cocky at the end, or he was still unsure of himself after he was offered
yes.
like the ride, or not the ride, you know what I mean, or to, you know, to ride him,
yeah,
or her. I'm not sure if sea smoke.
I don't know.
But anyway, so. Yeah, I don't know. It was very, like, probably, you know, in a while, I'm just like, oh, like, where are we going? But
yeah.
The thing I've seen online, a little bit of the anger is, because they have said in Hot D, reference that there is such a strong link between rider and dragon.
Oh, yes.
So, like, this wouldn't even be an option for Seasmoke, like, inherently to, like, allow another rider if Laenor is still alive.
Right.
But Seasmoke went out and found, you know, like, again, like, the worst breadcrumb.
Kids, of course.
Yeah, the worst breadcrumb trail in this season so far is, like, the stuff with Corlys's kid.
Yeah.
Two sons. But anyways, so it's like, oh, like, did they, like, kill Laenor off screen, potentially? Like, did he die on his adventures and, like, Seasmoke just knows, or I don't know.
I think it's one of two things, right? Either they're breaking the rule in Game of Thrones, which, like... That's something that's only said explicitly in the books anyway, so they have license to do that.
Sure.
Or they did, in fact, kill him off screen, and they just don't care. Both, I think, are not great.
Well, they did say it in the show, I guess.
In
House of the Dragon, they reference the dragon and rider thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so I guess it stands. Either they're breaking their own rule, or they killed a character off screen.
Hmm.
But it's like... I didn't really give a fuck about Laenor, but I see your point.
Yeah.
Like it.
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of like in regards to that scene. That's kind of the chatter I'm seeing.
Maybe they could have put a raven in. Hey, just so you know, Laenor's fucking ship was pirated and he got slaughtered. I don't know. It would have been easy to cover
dead,
their butts.
Right? There's no way. I think that's kind of how they can cover themselves, because he is supposed to have like already been dead. So no one in Westeros would know or care.
On the note about Seasmoke frying that Darklyn guy. My layman, oh, I read the books once, take was like, oh, dragons are supposed to be very intelligent and they clearly understand people. And so I was like, oh, he got cocky. And he was like, well, maybe not. And then I think that's meant to be left open to interpretation. Let's talk about the big thing. The big thing is the kiss. I will note the moment they hugged, I started shouting incomprehensibly at the television, they're going to lesbian.
Oh my God.
And Sam was like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And then the longer that hug went.
Yeah, evidently.
You're damn right. I called it.
I saw a little sniff of the ear. I was like, oh yeah, she's going to.
Oh, of course. So a lot's been made of this. So yeah. I'll pitch this to you. So one, people are angry for, you know, I believe, and don't fucking come for me if I'm off on this a little bit. I believe, you know, one of the many differences between the book and the show, and like at this point there are quite a few as I understand it, but I think one of the differences is that Missaria actually has a thing going on with Daemon in the books.
Oh.
So there's that. The second, still?
Like at this time, at this point in time?
I don't even know if the Harrenhal plot's in the book. That's the problem. I don't know apparently they're veering off significantly, which may make sense. It may not. But at the same time, who knows, right? So maybe Harrenhal is in the book. Maybe it doesn't last as long. Maybe it's like he hooks up with her later. I have no idea. But Rhaenyra definitely does not.
Sure.
So I guess, one, that's a difference. People don't like differences. Mm. Two, it came out that it was improvised.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't know. But that's kind of it. Like, I guess, you know, a lot of the review bombing is like, it doesn't make sense. You're detracting from the story. You know,
in the moment. What story's going on there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just goes back to our earlier point of like, whatever. Like, at least she's getting, you know, she's tapping some ass. Like, what do you want from Rhaenyra or Missaria in this point? Like, it just seems like there's not much else going on. Like, if this is detracting you so much, like, you know, you clearly haven't been watching the same show we have been, you know?
That's the thing. I think, you know, it's weird because it's one kiss. We don't know what the future holds for them or their relationship. And in the moment, I thought it made sense. Like, yes, it caught me off guard for sure. But like, I don't know. You like watch the scene, right? It's like Rhaenyra is like down and out, has no allies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everything is turned to shit. Missaria is her only friend who then reveals like her fucked up past. They finally got a W by smuggling in food, which, by the way, that whole plot is kind of neat.
Yeah, like that.
They're bonding. They're growing close. I don't know. It's like, I don't think that's crazy.
Dave, I didn't blink. Like, the fact that it's a problem for people, I think it says more to each person at hand. But
yeah, so maybe, you know, maybe in the fullness of time, the relationship, like, proves to be a good or a bad choice, like as far as how it serves the story. But I think it's way too early to make that judgment now.
Sure. Yeah. We got season 3 for sure coming.
25,000 one-star reviews, the worst in the show's history. There hasn't been an episode that low since the final season of Game of Thrones. Lowly rated on IMDb, rather. So the mob is fickle, brother.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As fuck.
Oh, I do want to say, on a positive note, you mentioned something that I've noticed a lot, which is, like, you were talking about how it seems to be mostly interiors.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I also think, to an extent, some of the cinematography is, like, better.
I agree. I think, you know what, though? They fixed the lighting in this season, so I wonder if maybe that was all there originally, right? Like, everything was so darkened out and blacked out. Where you couldn't kind of get the full extent
You're right about that for sure. Like, some of these shots are all, I mean, I'm curious if they're faking natural light or if it's all real interiors or sets they built in Croatia, like with real natural light.
I did see on, it's totally random, but I finally got like the Crave app working on the TV, so I don't need to cast it with my phone anymore.
Oh yeah.
So like, I'm not, you know, like usually when it's on my phone, I, you know, close it off. And
one of the worst streaming apps there is, but keep going.
Yeah, to get started. But the I saw the credits for the show for the first time.
Okay.
And right at the, we watched it right to the end, and I noticed Iceland was in there, and I was like, Oh, I thought they. I thought this was all done in Croatia, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, I must have missed the Croatian thing, but there was like a lot of shots this season. I'm like, oh yeah, obviously that's Iceland. That makes sense. Like kind of like the very grayed out look, you know. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm digging it. Like it's a nice show to look at, and the dragons look nice and real within all the scenes and all that. Like, you know, I don't. Not that they were ever like atrocious or anything like that, but. Even the scene with, like, the little dragon at the Eyrie.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, like, for, like, a clearly CG shot that, like, it kind of looks good, you know? Like, in kind of in light and not very dark scene. I was like, that works.
I maintain that I don't think they were ever bad in GOT either. I think it was just different shades of good. Like, sometimes you could see them struggling with, like, okay, maybe they didn't optimize properly.
Sure.
But, like... They clearly were, like, figuring it out as they did it, and they took a lot of the lessons from GOT and brought them into this. Mm. And there's a shitload more dragons in this show, right? A lot more screen time. Anyway, I don't really have much else. Aegon is alive. There's a neat little scene between him and
Laerys.
Laerys.
I did enjoy that. Aegon putting Laerys in his place was pretty interesting to see.
Aemond, too. You mean? That was fucking Aemond, awesome. Sir.
Yeah.
Aemond in general... is an interesting character. I'm very curious to see where he winds up.
Mm. I loved his line in episode 5.
What?
Right as he kind of takes control. He takes, like, the Prince Regent role.
Yep.
And he has a line of, like, for God's sake, can someone cut the rat catchers down?
Yeah, that was good.
Then, like, an immediate cutaway. I was like, that is great comedic timing on their part. That was so intentional.
Yeah, there is something about... Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire, the franchise, you can probably count on one hand, or unless I'm forgetting something significant, the actual king or queen, the ruler, is often inept and, like, bumbling and a bit of a dipshit, surrounded by, hopefully, like, different levels of, like, an effective small council.
Sure.
Aemond, for, like, his strengths or his weaknesses, is at the very least, like, decisive. Like, he's, like, doing shit. And it is interesting to see things... be done for a change.
And there was a cool, actually, no, there was a cool moment with Alicent too, this episode in him, where she kind of, like, he tells her to stick around after the council meeting.
Yo.
And she tries to put him in, you know, his place, and he immediately, like, you know, trap cards her, like, no, I'm gonna put you in your place.
Why are you here again?
Yeah, but she had a line of, like, in regarding, I took it as her, like, being fully aware of, like, what she did to Luke, what she did to Aegon, and like, just like, have you not grown past, like, this vengeance at this point?
Oh, that was good.
Like,
yeah, your childhood trauma, basically.
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, fucking stick it to him. Come on.
He is being an angry little boy who got his hands on dynamite.
Yeah, a warhead. More than that, but yeah.
All right, the boys.
The boys.
Season 4,
finale.
I will say, like, outside of the episode, the finale was Aaron. Is it Moriarty? There's no way that's her last name.
I think so.
Is that how you say it?
Moriarty, yeah.
Aaron Moriarty, who plays Starlight. Definitely her best performance as an actor
by
on the show.
Far. I couldn't believe that. I was blown away by her.
It's funny, right? I've heard Daniel Radcliffe talk about this in the Harry Potter books. There's a sequence where every actor takes a Polyjuice potion. And they turn into Daniel Radcliffe doubles.
Yeah.
And he talks about, you know, many actors have been through this, right? Twin scenarios, clone scenarios. And all of it is like a massive ego boosting exercise for the actor. More screen time.
Sure.
But, like, it's often, like, you don't... I find those scenes often fall quite flat. Or the dialogue isn't written in a way that's, like, very exciting. Like, Aaron, Shapeshifter. The shapeshifting soup who turned into Starlight was an absolute sociopath.
Yeah.
Or psychopath. And that, like, she fucking crushed that.
Yeah, man. I made a note that I loved how it's easy for that type of character to slip into, like, almost like a Machiavellian kind of, like, supervillain kind of aura and, like, you know, like, monologuing for the sake of monologuing. But it was so tight-knit, it was very, like, no, like, I'm not, like, it was, like, very quick, it's like, no, I'm not that, I am this, I am aware. And, like, it was, like, very, like, on task, and kind of, like, you know, like mocking in a way. It was
big time.
I feel like we've seen this, like you said, we've seen this exact kind of performance or situation rather, like literally hundreds of times across every mm-hmm. medium possible. And this is one of the few times where it's just like, whoa, like,
you know, it was also this
some real mind games.
Yeah, well, that was actually, that brought it to another level, is that she explained the nature, I almost called it a quirk. She explained
that's funny.
That when she turns into somebody, she inherits their memories.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's like a whole level, other level mm-hmm. of darkness. So all those, all the conflict that ensued was like very interesting. Mm. What else happens in the finale? Sage is like, that was all according to plan, and people seem divided on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I did have that spoiled for me, so like I was expecting a scene for her to like pop up and be like, you know, aha, you know, like, but it's even then, like, I think she is also like a very well written character where I'm like, is she still like, did she find a way to weasel her way back in to like fuck things up?
Yeah.
In her own way, you know, or is like, you know, is she really like, she is another one too. It's like, I really don't know if she is on anyone's side. Like, she's just on her side, you know, and she's going to use and abuse anything she can. Like, she's got some cojones there, like freaking flying in the face of Homelander, which is, there's very few people on screen where you've seen, like, I think Butcher, Soldier Boy, and Sage have been the only three that can just like look him in the eye and be like, I don't give a fuck what you have to say.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I think what they perhaps could have handled better, which is leaving audiences a little divided, is like, I think it, like, the exact way things unfolded were not probably part of her plan. I think what's more likely is she probably realized early on, like, she's not going to be able to, completely control Homelander.
No.
He is going to just, like, do what he wants at stages, but she managed to, like, figure out ways to seize upon every moment of opportunity that happened, right? Every complication that came up, she's like, okay, this presents an opportunity, I'll use it. But I don't know if they did a great job kind of communicating that. Oh, also...
Yeah, re-entering her wasn't as graceful as, like, it could have been.
Yeah, and also, they had to change that. I mean, believe me, folks, don't worry. We're not going to cover American politics. You have enough to digest without a couple of Canadians giving their take on that. But they did have to change the name of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, that happened. And they put up a warning ahead of the finale.
I almost missed that.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was interesting. I think the biggest surprise of the whole season was Newman getting it.
Dude.
That was tight, huh?
I could not believe that. That was
a good twist.
Yeah,
I thought that was well done.
But you know what though? Don't feel any remorse for her. She was as evil as they come.
In the moment, I briefly did, but then you think about it, you're like, well,
she has. You know, a sea of blood has come before her, you know, due to her and her quirk. But
I also think the fact, it is, Butcher's character is tragic, though.
Yeah.
Right, because he was ready to die and, like, give in just for this chance to get his son out. Not his son, his, you know what I mean, his adopted son.
His son.
If they just fumbled it at the 1 yard line and like the only path forward, I mean, at least in his eyes, seemed to be one of blood. And
That scene was crazy too, because I was convinced, I was like, oh, you know, maybe they wouldn't like double tap us again, but it was like, is Grace real? You know, was that actually him kind of like unloading on what's the kid's name? Tommy?
Tom? What do you do? Ryan?
Ryan.
His son, Ryan. Yeah.
For like a minute, the back and forth to, like, you know, Grace is there at the hospital with him. I was like, oh man, is Grace also in his imagination? Is this like a...
By Grace, do you mean the FBI lady?
Yeah.
It's Mallory. Isn't it Mallory?
Is it Grace Mallory?
Oh, it's probably Grace Mallory. My bad. In my notes, it says Mallory.
It's Mallory, so... But like, you know, I was like, oh man, is this another like a figment of like the cancer Butcher, like another, you know, and like they were playing it. So it was so back and forth. Like he would say something, then, you know, then Mallory would say something to Ryan. And I was like, and then the whole time when she starts going off, all I can think of is like, oh my God, is this him snapping, you know, telling Ryan about, you know, how his mother was assaulted and that's how he was born. And, da, da, da. And then like, you know, then you find out that, you know, Grace is, you know, or Mallory gets killed by Ryan by accident.
That was tough.
I was like, it was just like a snap of the moment. Like, oh shit, she was actually there. I was like, you know, I was really like, not like banking on it, but I was like, shit, like, you know, that was one of, you know, the allies and all that. Like, another one down.
I think she fucked it up.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, that's on her.
Butcher had him.
He did, and patience was the name of the game. Connect Four was going to work.
Yeah. He's never had a patient day in his life, but in that moment, he was ready to have a patient.
Right?
And someone else fucked it up.
That's hilarious. That's a great point by you.
That was the most tragic part of that
scene. That is a really good observation. Like, he's never patient.
Yeah.
And he's on his deathbed, and he's kind of made the decision to fucking go quietly for a change.
Yeah.
He calls Huey, he says, I'm sorry, and he says his goodbyes.
Yeah.
And he's probably inches away. Do you believe there's some commentary, there's some discussion on, like, you know, it is a V'd up tumor after all. So, like, by yielding to this parasite, does it make sense that he now looks much healthier? Because when he came in and killed Newman, he looked good.
Yeah, well, there was... because there's a scene with... I'm blanking on what the comedian's fucking... What's that guy's name? Henry Dean Morris, is that his name?
No, are you talking about the devil on his shoulder there?
Yeah,
from Walking Dead?
Yeah. Negan.
Yeah, Negan, yeah. Fuck it.
So, I was thinking of the Watchmen, so I call him the comedian. Mm. I think in the scene with the bar where he falls.
Yeah.
And then they have a scene afterwards, and he was like, he more like alluded, like, yeah, like, I put you on your ass. Like, I'm running the show here.
Right.
So I took that as like, yeah, like, if he sides with him, then it eases up completely or whatever. And...
So the tumor's like almost sentient, kind of.
I think that's what it is.
Or it's tapping into a part of his brain that is like the darkest part, maybe.
Could very well be.
Or a bit of both, but yeah, that was gross, man.
What a well-written character, Butcher. Like,
yeah, I was really curious where they're going to go with him, man. And I got to say, like, probably out of any individual storyline, I probably liked his most this season.
He is, like, one of the most inappropriate characters on TV and, like, in my history, watching anything. Like, just the stuff that comes out of his mouth, but, like...
Fucking diabolical.
You know? But it just... It's interesting where you can... You know, like, it's not like a Walter White situation. Like, it's borderline, you know, comedic and clownish, like, how over-the-top Butcher is. And, like, it's, you know, it's two different types of, like, the anti-hero or whatever. But it's, like, you know, you're not rooting for him, but, like, you just hear him talk, you're like... Yeah, that's my guy. Maybe it's the accent.
Sometimes you're not rooting against him either, though. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, someone should stop him, but I hope they don't.
And then, like, Huey's whole speech about, like, let's be the good guys for once. You know, let's put in the work. You know,
that was good.
Let's break this, you know, this cycle. I did read something interesting online. Someone made a comment of saying, like, I do think Huey's stand, or Huey's statement is going to stand by the series end. I think, like, you know, that was, like, the big pitch. Like, you know, the big picture pitch by him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't, like, the immediate thing. But, again, it was a step in the right direction and all that. But,
yeah.
So, I, you know, Huey, too. Also, the stuff with, like, him and fucking his girlfriend there, Starlight.
Yep.
You know, like, I do see there is, like, a lot of back and forth on that. Like,
yes.
You know, it's, like, I understand, like, the whole, like, the inner, you know, sexual politics of, like, the situation and all that. But, like, I think Huey's had a rough couple fucking months there and all that.
He's had a very rough season. And, you know, people are, that's a good point you bring that up. People are, like, very much championing his cause about, like, what he's been through this season. You know, his dad died, his estranged mom showed up and then drugged his dad, who then had, like, a horrible death as a result, killing spree. And Huey had to kill him, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And then he's sexually assaulted by an off-brand Batman in a sex dungeon. You know what I mean? It's like there's a bunch of horrible, horrible shit.
Oh my God. Speaking of which, there was some... I think when I was reading like the episode or the finale thread on Reddit, people were referencing two lines from Gen V about Tech Knight that, like, it's so funny in retrospect. There's a point, because he shows up in Gen V as, like, they're doing, like, an Around the School documentary, or, like, they're filming a show.
Yeah, I watched that. I forget a lot about it, but some of those characters show up at the end, too.
Yeah, and someone made a line of, like, I bet you that dude has wild parties.
Ha! That's funny.
And then I guess at some point he's, like, he makes a line of, like, there's no party like a Tech Knight party.
That's funny.
And just everything happened this season, I was, like, thought that was funny setup without people knowing it, but...
Yeah, no kidding.
The heroes of the Godolkin showed up. They're at the end of the episode there, like, capturing everybody.
Oh, and Kimiko speaks her first words.
Yeah.
After a big kiss to moment between her and Frenchie, long time coming.
that was, you know what, they kind of steered the ship. They fixed, they've kind of fixed Frenchie's kind of,
yes, I agree,
arc a little bit. You know, not like there was anything inherently wrong. It just, it felt so like,
it was a bit of a waste of time. Too early.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. Kimiko and him together, that's, that feels like, it's like one of the best like relationships on TV. Yeah. Genuinely. Like I love their chemistry and like, what they can do with like the sign language and like
very impressive.
Even the texting. It's it even with all that, the hindrance as like a viewer, like it comes through so genuine and natural. So
that is a good point. That. Like that could easily be like pretty eye rolling.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they did this just to tick a representation box. If it was poorly done, and I've never questioned it throughout the whole series. Like, the Kimiko thing has always worked really well, especially with Frenchie, you're right. Ashley takes V, and... Yeah.
Oh, the murder, the Deep's murdering spree? Oh my god, the murder Deep's boner was so funny.
Oh my god.
Bro.
Starlight learns to fly and dips.
Yeah, dips out hard.
Holy dips out god. Hard. Yeah.
Homelander styles.
Oh, and then A-Train has had a hell of a redemption arc this season.
Yeah.
Prime, you know, ready for death in fifth season, I think.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean, it's a decent bet, but nothing's guaranteed. But I wouldn't be surprised if he had, like, a heroic death. I have one. I bet you already know this, but I had a big light bulb moment. Not a big light bulb moment, but do you know who voiced the octopus that the Deep killed?
I did know that. Tilda Swinton. Yeah,
that's how hilarious is that?
That's so funny.
Fuck yeah. All right, well, that's season four. I enjoyed it. If you didn't, get bent.
It definitely, the first four episodes definitely felt like it wasn't retreading. It was just like, where, like, genuinely, where are we going?
Actually, no, that's a really great point. I mean, when I put that reel / TikTok up on at Part Time Otaku Podcast on social media, I think we were like halfway through and I was like, I don't really know where this is going.
Yeah.
You know, some of these plot lines like don't make fucking sense.
Yeah.
Oh, and we didn't even mention Anthony Starr, Homelander. Like, I think that's all well in hand for a hopefully true climax in season five. And obviously, did you catch the post credits?
Yes.
Do you want me to tell you in case?
No, I think I did. Now I'm just thinking real hard.
Soldier Boy.
Yes. They found Soldier Boy.
Yes. And you know what's crazy? I had that spoiled before the show aired.
Really?
Yeah. It was on the Boys subreddit, and to be fair, I was just mindlessly scrolling and tapping.
Yeah.
And the title of the post was Finale Leak, and I saw the title of the post afterwards, but it's Homelander looking down at Soldier Boy. And I was like, fuck, I hope that's not real. Damn. It was real.
Well, we all knew Soldier Boy was going to come
at
some point.
But anyway, what are you going to do? All right. Do you want to talk about the best anime currently airing, or do you want to talk about My Hero Academia? Yo, I'm on fire with these fools, dude. You're on
fire, man. Feisty tonight.
Yeah,
I love it. Let's do the best anime on TV right now.
Elusive Samurai.
Yeah, dude.
Is out to episode 3. This thing that you recommended.
Mm-hmm. I know my boy.
It's July. We're past the midway point of the year, and so it's July. But, like, it's in contention for best anime of the year so far, for sure.
It is genuinely incredible. Can I say, I don't think I've ever, in any medium, seen a child's head cut off in such open display.
The way they balance tone, like, you can have the decapitation of a child in one scene and 10 minutes later have silly comedy. Like, I don't know.
Can I tell you what I legitimately thought today when I was driving around?
Hit me up.
I said, this is a seinen show wearing a shonen Halloween costume.
Oh, that's an interesting... What's a seinen?
More to like a mature audience, so like Berserk or Attack on Titan.
Oh, that's what that is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a genre. Okay, well, I guess that's what I'm into.
It's geared towards like 16 to 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of the market, and then shonen's usually like...
Yeah, you know, yeah.
15 and younger, whatever.
That I knew. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's the
it's just so open about it. There's no talking. It's just a violent world.
Life is blood.
You know what? It's maybe, you know, this could be a reason why we both really like it. after this most recent episode, when they were kind of, it's funny because I didn't think of it in episodes one and two, but like in the third episode where they do like kind of the groups getting to know each other a little bit, they're like kids being kids up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, this reminds me of that episode of Mob Psycho in season three where like they go and they hunt for aliens.
Oh yeah, I love that episode.
And they're just like, you know, kind of like, there's been all this crazy stuff and action and like, you know, it's just like a chance for kids to be kids. And then like, you know, this is like a very similar scene and there, you know, like there's stakes to it, the episode, but you're thinking back, you're like, oh wow, like they really do a job of like twisting animation styles and kind of bringing out, you know, contorting faces. Like they're blending so many different styles and animation techniques and colors. And I was like, oh, this is very Mob Psycho. Like it's in more ways than one. And
that's
big,
a great,
colorful,
dude, that's such a good point. That never struck me, but you're totally right.
Really?
It's obvious now, but I hadn't thought of it.
And I think the other thing, maybe it kind of like kickstarted that idea, was in the second episode when they're fighting the uncle, which that was crazy.
Oh my god, that was so good.
But like, just like the style of like the very like that evil smile looking face, and then like there's the smoke, and in the smoke it looks like he has horns and he is a devil, and like they're not openly saying. Like, the show is doing something very strange, and I'm not sure if it's like a subtitles issue or like a translation issue. Mm. But like, I actually don't know if this world is like there. People are being possessed, like they are so evil, like it opens them up to be possessed by a devil,
right?
Or
if it was like artistic license,
or if it's an artistic, exactly. So like, it's just one of those things, because they've straight up said like the priest character is a god.
Yeah,
but it's like,
interesting,
is that also a bait and switch? Like, it's there's so many layers.
How literal are we being here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it works.
I guess
for me.
We'll see in time. No, I agree. It definitely works for me. It's the animation style, the art direction.
Yeah,
the art style, dude. Like there's moments where it looks like a fucking Ghibli movie.
Yeah,
like it looks old, in a good way. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. old 90s style at times, and then not at all. The colors, the music. I don't know. It's so good. This is like. This is up there with your Freeman Rec. This is on Freeman Rec.
I don't miss.
Yeah, no.
I am genuinely looking forward to it every week. I'm just like, okay, this is like, you know, I want to see. And, you know, I was behind and I was able to watch, you know, episodes 2 and 3 back to back. And I was like, oh, this show is going to just sing by the end. Like,
slaps.
You know, this should be like, they should renew this stat.
Yeah, I think it's only scheduled for 12, right?
Bummer.
I think that's the case. But
usually get some good quality that way, so.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know, I bitch about the scheduling all the time, and then, like, but if everything looked like this, maybe I wouldn't.
I cannot get over how in the third episode, they have had, like, full, like, 5-minute stretches in each episode, where it's dialed to 11, and then the rest of the episode's just sitting at an 8 and a 9. You know, like, it's crazy. The effort that's gone into this.
This provides a good segue to My Hero Academia. We can move there, because a lot of the time, My Hero, jokes aside, but it is a good example of a show where the boring episodes pay literally for the good ones, or the good animation sequences, right?
Sure.
It's like you get, like, that episode with Endeavor versus All for One. Was like truly stunning.
That's probably my favorite episode of My Hero. Genuinely.
It's hard for me to think of another one that's up there.
The overhaul fight I think is number one.
Ooh, that's
when
Deku, great.
Like all the like the eight fists, kind of like I'm slamming in on him.
Yeah, from the fucking heavens.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's actually pretty. And the soundtrack slapped during that fight. But yeah, that Endeavor one, the most recent one, was really fantastic. And then you look at the episodes that like kind of bracket it, and you're like, neither of those were particularly great. And this is like an action heavy season, but I would not say it's an animation quality strong season. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think there is. It's a case of like there's genuinely just so many moving parts. Action wise, like whether
I
it's
mean,
like
Shigaraki's like hand, even like,
yeah,
what are you supposed to do with that?
No, I know, but it doesn't look bad, you
no,
know?
It doesn't
I
look bad,
say,
but it doesn't
you
know, look like great either.
No, like if that was like hand drawn, could you imagine?
It'd like, be a nightmare,
for you. But it would be a nightmare, but all thumbs, but so, yeah, I just think because, like you said, there is so much action, it all kind of blends together so much that even like the nice moment, like, you know, like this, the whole Dobby episode, that was like supposed to be like this big spectacle point. Both you and I are just kind of like, eh, didn't work.
I was like, whelmed by it. And also, yeah. I think they're fucking bringing him back. Like, they confirmed he's not dead. And I know you said, like, he's probably not. But it's just like...
Yeah.
Well, can you just not? Like, you... The one thing you have too many of is characters. Can they not die when you kill them? Like...
I'm telling you now. If Endeavor dies... Which, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that battle's still about to, like, hit, like, phase three.
Uh-huh.
Which is crazy, this fucking show. Anyways, if Endeavor dies, Dobby lives.
Right.
Is my take. I bet. Right. Gary, that's just, you know, that writes itself.
All right. Okay. Let's... Oh, God. I'm hesitant to even say this. Well, no. I think I'm not, actually. Is Bakugo dead?
Yes.
Right? What makes it... That seems legit, right?
Yeah. I think that's... Dude, they hit all the anime hallmarks on that one. That was like signed, sealed, and delivered. Like, you know, see you later.
That spoiled for me.
I did too. Day of.
Day of the manga?
No, day of the episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had the manga spoiled for me about a year ago.
Oh, that's so what you had spoiled for me.
That makes me think that we are getting closer to the end because, like, I've seen manga stills over the years.
Okay.
And I'm realizing that we're seeing some of these things happen now.
Oh, okay.
And so that makes me think we're getting closer to the end, but also, who knows?
That one hurt, dude. I'll be honest. I felt that one.
Yeah, that was good death.
His voice actor put in some genuinely, like, heart... Like, just the way his voice came through of, like, you know, will I ever catch up? Or, you know, can I catch up to you, Deku? And, like, it's so funny because it's... we were just joking about it, you know, earlier in the episode about how fickle the mob is, but, like... How many years have people been just, like, lambasting, like, you know, like, you know, the character assassination of Endeavor and, like, what he's done, you know, to, like, you know, all the free thinkers of the world. And, like, you know, like, he's done all these harmful things and Bakugo has just been, like, you know, the lovable, mean guy.
Yeah.
And then he dies and then everyone, it's like a fucking flip of the switch. Everyone's like, fucking Endeavor, like, you got his ass. And, like, and now Bakugo is like, yeah, he never really got to, like, atone for, like, what he did to Deku. And it's like, oh my God. Like, yeah. No one can win. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I will say, so I think his final scene was good.
Yeah.
But I do think you grow a little numb to action when it goes on and it drags this long.
Yeah.
They've been in the coffin in the sky for a very long time.
Yeah, it's like, what, 8 episodes now?
And, you know, my first thought was like, was that real? And then you see the shot of him, you're like, oh, fuck, I think it might have been.
Yeah. They still lied to us, that's why.
It's also...
Yeah, it wasn't like closed eyes.
It's and, like, also... resting. Yeah, good point. It's wide-eyed. Also difficult because the Bakugo character is, like, very much Vegeta-inspired, right?
Sure.
Which is just to say that type. And I guess, like, I always assumed that his arc would have some kind of conclusion of not him necessarily surpassing Deku, but, like, maybe, like, saving him or dying for the greater good or having, like, a really big come to self-actualization moment. I don't know. And, like, he definitely grew a lot.
Yeah.
But he kind of just got fucking... bodied by Tomura, mostly, like, in this scene. It was more like,
yeah, dude, he died for Deku to go plus ultra on his ass. Like, that's all he did. Like,
yeah, he got
he's a currency to, like, get us to the fight, to the final fight, which
there's
you
a
know,
term that people use in manga. I don't know if they use it outside of Dragon Ball.
Okay,
you can tell me if you've heard it before, but it's like Vegeta got jobbed that fight, or Vegeta's jobbing. Which is like,
okay, yeah.
His job as a character is to get close to winning and then get his ass beat so that Goku can come in and be like, I got this. And that, but like, that, to be fair, when you look at like all of Vegeta's fights, like that shit happens every saga. Mm. And then, so, but that's kind of what happened to Bakugo here. And I was like, is that how he goes? And it might be.
To his credit, he didn't go out like a bitch.
He did not go out like a bitch.
He fucking went swinging, which is, like, very on-brand for the character. And the, fuck, the vocal delivery when he yelled cluster, that, like, that first, like, big hit he had, like, right before. you know, he's like out for the count for like a couple of minutes or half an episode. But I don't know. Like, it is a bummer. Like, he did grow on me. I know he was kind of a pain in the ass for us for a long time. But it was kind of sad to see him go. Like, you know.
Oh, no. I legit sad. Like,
yeah.
Fun character. One of the big ones.
Yeah, Midori's going to go fucking bananas, though. Like,
he better. Yeah. Like, we better get some big, this you know. Boy. If you kill a main character to get a reaction out of another main character, like, it better be worth it, especially when the show's been on the air for a decade.
Yeah.
Right? That is part of the problem with the longer these shows go, is, like, it has to mean something when you finally do the thing, right?
You know what they did? You know that they did the thing and didn't really give us an explanation?
What?
Bringing back Lemillion.
Yeah, that was some... that was not well... That's a good example.
Yelled at the TV, dude. I was so mad. I was frustrated. They set us up for that being like one of the most tragic things to ever happen in this
bro literally four universe. Seasons ago. 4 seasons ago,
yeah. Like, you know, they've been like the slowest drip feed of anyone, him and Aerie, and just like, boom, we figured it out, but we're not going to tell you what, you know, how or when, or maybe they will, I don't know. But fuck,
the more I think, and I'm not, you know, I'm not doing it intentionally, but the more you do put My Hero under a microscope, the more you realize, like, it isn't, it's not A+ storytelling. Like, it's just not, right? No. You know what I mean? It's like, it seems to be, like, one of the quote, big hitters, but it's, like, at the bottom of the barrel, at least for the stuff that I watch. Like, there's probably shows that are as big and better or worse that I'm not aware of. Like, you're much more plugged into, you know, long-running shows that have long-term fandom.
I think it's a symptom of, like, the Shonen Jump mega-series, like, kind of system.
I totally agree with you. Like, this I can feel this guy just being like, oh, shit, I got to get another chapter out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If I want that money to keep rolling in, or if I ever want to make another series at any point ever, I need to, like, fucking do what they say and, like, keep making it. You know, like, it is, like, it's a tightrope walk. Like, I get that. And, like, it's, you know, been... It's like the worst kept secret in like that industry of like, all right, well, like, people want to keep reading it. It's like, but you can only do so much. And I think that's where, you know, like, there's like other genres within manga where they kind of have a little more freedom to like tell their, you know, like, funny enough, like, we were just talking about seinen versus shonen. Like, seinen doesn't usually have that problem. Like, there's, you know, there's exceptions like Berserk, and there's other shows and all that where like they are, like, it is such grand scope, but a lot of time it's like there's, you know, a specific story that they want to be told, and they're usually fucking in and out.
I really got to read Berserk, man.
Dude.
Well, you have not, right?
No, but I have.
Read it together.
That would be fun. Because there's those deluxe versions.
We should both just buy one, like, per year or some bullshit. I don't know about per year, maybe. But you know what I mean? We should buy one. We should sync our purchases.
Yeah.
And then we'll do that. Schedule a review episode.
That would be fun.
And read at our own pace, but as long as we make it before a deadline.
Yeah. We'll do that.
That might be a good idea.
I love manga.
Yeah. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole the way you have, and that might be a really fun way to start. I've been saying that shit for years.
We should. Let's do it tonight. Let's freaking just...
I'm swamped right now, man.
but yeah, so I don't know. My Hero, it's like, you know, I'm not going to hold it against it. At least we're not, like, it's kind of a dick thing to say. I don't feel like my time's being wasted like it has in the past.
No, that's fair. That is actually very fair.
So, you know, even though it's not perfect, I'm fazed by it. It's like, whatever. Like, just do your thing. Let's get through it.
I still like watching it on Saturday mornings. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, Saturday cartoon styles.
You want to talk some quick news? We got a couple things.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, I mean, by far the most exciting thing for me is, I bet maybe for you, is Severance Season 2. Got a release date. It's a little January further 1st. Out than I want, but January 2025. I think someone said it'll be almost 3 full years from the debut of season one. But, you know, COVID.
Yeah.
And also, you know what also broke today or yesterday? Apple has spent over $20 billion already on original content, and they're reining in costs drastically now. Severance cost season one and maybe two. Maybe two. I actually don't know if they specified which season. But on average, Severance was costing them more to make than fucking House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones. They were spending $20 million per episode on that shit.
Whoa!
And apparently...
It looked amazing, though.
It is a gorgeous fucking show. But I think what is happening is somebody's doing the books at Apple and is like, hey, we're not really making our money back on this yet. In the same article that reported on their cutting back on content spending, and I'm curious on, I err on the side of believing this, that Netflix's minutes watched per day is larger than Apple's minutes watched per month for streaming.
Holy shit.
Now, Apple is nowhere near the level of catalog or subscriber count as Netflix.
It's also a pretty niche app.
Super specific. It's been on the market way less. It's less global, less subs, blah, blah, blah. So that's probably true. But after sinking in like $20 billion, you probably are hoping like that you're going to make a dent and maybe they're not seeing the return they want.
Was a third of that for Kills of the Flower Moon? Or?
I don't know. Good question, though. What the fuck?
I'd like to rewatch that, actually. I was thinking about that the other day.
Yeah. I don't know. That would be good to rewatch. A little home theater style. Yeah. What else is in the news, bud?
Licorice Recoil? Recoil. What was this? So, it's interesting, because they had to make a statement as well, saying that this is not has nothing to do with season two, which is still being worked on, but this is just a six-episode short format with guest directors making each one. It's a slice of life day in the life of the cafe staff. So a little cool, fun, I guess. Little fun thing, like nothing, you know, no high stakes or whatever. Could be honestly, could be a fun way to backdoor the plot for season two. If I'm being completely honest,
sure.
Because I think I saw there was someone made a comment that like the episode, one of the episodes has a director that was in or did an episode in the first season or something like that. So
oh yeah.
So that'll be, you know, maybe that'd be a fun way to backdoor it. But, yeah, man, I am so stoked for season two of that show. That show was awesome. Like,
agreed. We had a lot of fun.
One of our favorites of that year.
Yeah. Netflix news, because I'm still highly engaged in what Netflix is doing in the live space. Mm. You know, there's like this silly Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight that everybody's bagging on that got pushed out to November. But Rogan, my least favorite stand-up comic, he's doing a live taping for his next special on live on Netflix on August 3rd.
Whoa.
Which is also, I believe Chris Rock did that already a year or two ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you don't know about this. So this, I heard about this and I just can't watch it because I heard about what happened. You know how comics do callbacks?
Sure. Right?
Like, yeah. You know, at the beginning of the set, yeah, they say, hey, Grant, you got this stupid shirt on. And then towards the end, they go, and next time, don't put on your stupid shirt. Right? And okay. It's like, the audience is like, oh, I get it, because you said it earlier. That's a callback. Chris Rock fucked up his own callback. So he fucked up the setup. He referenced the wrong, I think it was a movie or a show. And he closes on the joke. And he says in the taping, he goes, I already fucked this up, but blah, 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 blah. And then the joke wouldn't have worked because he used the wrong setup at the beginning of the special. And because it's live, there's no second taping. That's just how it is.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, but it's interesting that happened live. But it just means that it is a high-stakes environment.
Sure. Yeah.
So I will likely, it'll be the first Rogan special I watch in years. But I'm just curious to see how it handles live. That Tom Brady roast did like crazy numbers for them. Mm-hmm. Captain America teaser, don't care. I do know Giancarlo Esposito is in it.
Yeah. Oh.
And people were shocked that he was in the trailer because he apparently was part of last minute reshoots that happened like 2 weeks ago. So who knows what that means. Did you see who they brought in to replace Thunderbolt Ross?
Harrison
fucking Ford. And then they spoil who he is. I don't know if you saw that. I mean, I think that was implied, but they show it in the thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you think it's him? Does it look like him?
I don't know. They don't show enough for you to really know.
All right.
Jujutsu manga. Jujutsu Kaisen is actually in its final arc of the manga.
Yep.
I don't know.
I asked Leanne about that. She was like, yeah, wrap that shit up. I was like, whoa. Oh, wait. Shots fired.
Yeah. This one's big. Marvel, MCU, reportedly in talks with the Russo brothers to come back and do the last two Avengers films. Not when I say last two, I mean next two. Sorry. Because their writer walked too, eh?
Oh, really?
Yeah, writer for 5 walked. They obviously have a lot of... That was supposed to be the Kang movie, right?
Yep.
So who knows how that goes. But I will say, I don't think life after the MCU has been particularly kind to the Russos.
No, they made that, what, the Cherry movie with...
I got dogged on bad.
And then that, the Gray Man, that was them too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Also dogged.
Got dogged on bad. It was fine, but, it was like a big deal that they were making these movies. And they didn't, neither of them really panned out. Like, it's tough to walk out of a movie saying, I just made the highest grossing film of all time, and then make 2 duds. That's tough. But they used to say, I remember when the MCU was in its heyday, they were talking about the only thing we would ever come back for is Secret Wars. And Avengers 6 is supposed to be Secret Wars. So, I don't know. But
didn't they do Secret Wars?
That was Civil War.
No, what was the... Oh, Secret Invasion.
Which I didn't even watch, to be fair.
Dude, that sucked.
Fuck.
Dude, that was awful. Like,
That with Samuel? That was
that was the straw that broke my back, actually. For MCU stuff.
I mean, if we see, I don't know if you and I can find the time, we'll talk off mic, but, I would definitely watch Wolverine Deadpool, but that'll be, or Deadpool Wolverine, that'll be the first one I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm definitely going to see that. I'd like to see that with you, for sure.
Yeah, but our calendar, we'll talk.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know what I mean. And then the last thing I got on my list, dude, is Emmy noms.
Ooh, Emmy. 23 outstanding.
The bear. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's really fucked up about that is that it got classified as a comedy again,
mm-hmm.
which I think really fucks things up.
Yeah.
Clearly, but here's best drama noms. Maybe it makes more sense that they did submit as drama when you look at how stacked this is. It's The Crown, Fallout, The Gilded Age, The Morning Show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Shogun, Slow Horses, Three Body Problem.
Shogun's got that one in the bag.
I hope so. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other categories you're super interested in? I don't want to read them all. Best comedy, I'll read. Listen to this. Abbott Elementary, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hacks, Only Murders in the Building, Palm Royale, Reservation Dogs, What We Do in the Shadows, The Bear. I just don't think it fits.
No.
I just don't think it fits, my guy.
I think it's a dramedy. No, yeah. Not even a dramedy. I think it's a drama with the comedic elements. It's just,
oh. The one I'm genuinely angry about?
What?
True Detective Night Country got like 19 nominations.
Yeah, shit.
Absurd. Absolutely makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
I never got around to that one.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
I'm angry about it.
I was like, I don't know, I was kind of DOA because you were hard on it. Devin was hard on it too. I was like, whoa, holy shit. Like, okay.
The fan base was hard. It sucked.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it, but whatever. I'll give you best actress and actor in drama.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Actress, Jennifer Aniston, The Morning Show, Carrie Coon, The Gilded Age, Maya Erskine, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. For a second, I thought this girl was left out. I'm really glad she's not. Anna Sawai, Shogun. Imelda Staunton, The Crown, Reese Witherspoon, The Morning Show.
I hope Shogun clears everything it's nominated for, honestly.
The one snub was the Gajin didn't get nominated for Shogun, the white guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Hiroyuki Sanada did for Best Actor. So it's him, Idris Elba for Hijack, Donald Glover for Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Walton Goggins for Fallout, Gary Oldman.
He's incredible, and I actually finished Fallout this week.
Oh, Gary Oldman for Slow Horses, Dominic West for The Crown. So should I watch that, Fallout?
You know what, I think...
Interesting reaction.
No, it is interesting because... I think it's getting lots of love for non-people of, like, the game franchise.
Yeah.
And I think, my father-in-law watched it, and, I was talking to other people about it. Like, guys at work were talking about it. And I never hear guys at work fucking talking about, like, shit on TV.
Yeah.
Like, fucking follow up there, eh, brother? And I'm like, okay. And they're like, welcome to 2024. Anyone can watch it. But, I don't know, dude. Like, it's a very good, like, they did, when it comes to adaptations... you know, like, The Last of Us was really good, but, like, this was, like, so accurate to the weirdness of the Fallout series. Like, unabashedly, it was just, like, we're doing the games.
Right.
And they pulled it off. Like, it just, you know, like, I was a little, by the end of the first episode, I was a little iffy of, like, oh, like, how much are they going to lean into this? Like, is this just, like, a one episode? Like, it's the pilot. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, be weird or whatever. And, dude, they were fucking Fallout weird from the beginning to the absolute end in every great... Like, it's, you know, it's not...
It sounds similar to what you and I had to say about Last of Us, in that it was, like, a relatively close adaptation.
But the thing...
Is that fair?
I think the thing with The Last of Us is it's following a very specific story.
Yeah.
And it's trying to... It's genuinely trying to appeal to mass audiences and, like, kind of get the gaminess out of the way. Fallout is not doing that. It's, like, fucking... Oh, okay. It's proudly wearing the badge of honor of, like, this is a game, this is the world, this is the kooky, quirky world we have. You know, humans are inherently evil. No matter what time period you're in, like, people are always going to be the butt of someone else's joke. And it's just, it really kind of, you know, sails through, like, this, like, the CG effects, like, you know, like, the vertebirds and, like, the power suits, like, it's just, it's one of the few shows where it's, like, you can, there's a couple of, like, exterior shots where, like, okay, this is clearly, like, a sand pit they found somewhere and, like, fucking overseas somewhere, and there's, like, reusing a bunch of, like, kind of areas. Like, there's two separate episodes. It's clearly supposed to be two different buildings, but the interiors are identically the same. Which, you know, you can make an argument like, oh, it's like that in the games too, but I don't know. They play around with time, like, you know, before the bombs went off, and, you know, but it's not following, like, a storyline from the games. Like, it's an original story.
Oh, okay.
But it's canon. Like, they've said, like, this is canon to the game series. Cool. Which is, like, very cool, you know? So, and, you know, it's, I was enjoying, like, the Wasteland stuff, but, like, they kind of go back to, like I said, before the bombs went off, and they kind of do, like, the inner workings of the offices, like, this Vault-Tec company, like, you know, the inherent evilness mm-hmm. of them. And I was just like, dude, like, I would actually like to spend more time here, you know? Mm-hmm. But they did a good job of, like, because it's been renewed, obviously.
It did big business for them, right? Like, it was a big one.
Apparently, it did so well, Microsoft started pushing in Bethesda, like, hey, maybe you need to move your timeline up on Fallout 5.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, okay. I don't know. Like, the show, I think, beginning to end, it's a solid 8. You know, like, it's not the most mind-blowing.
But 8 is a high number.
But I think it's so consistent. And, like I said, I think respect, you know, is earned because, like I said, it proudly wears the badge of, like, we are Fallout. This is Fallout. And, you know,
it
doesn't
dilute it.
No, not even diluting it. Like, I think, you know, I think in some things to make it a little more palatable. But I think they found the way to take, like, what the beauty of those games are and the storytelling and the silliness and the brutality of it, which is, it's such a weird amalgamation on its own. They just nailed it. They just brought it to life, you know? They didn't have to change much. They didn't have to, you know, like, lean into one far way to make it more accessible for anybody. Yeah. I don't know. It's just really well pulled off. I really, really liked it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a little spin.
Yeah. Good characters. The chemistry. Oh, the big thing too. Everyone's like, there's the meme going around of Rey and Finn from Star Wars, and it's the two main characters from two of the main characters from Fallout. It's like, who are you? It's like, or who you should have been. it's like a genuine. I don't know. They do a really good balancing act. And at no point I'm just like, you know, oh, this is bored. Like, I was, like, invested in the whole time. It's really good. Good,
that
great
is positive
Easter eggs.
To hear, then.
Great Easter eggs. And, yeah. Violent. Very violent. Also, jam-packed with comedians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think just about every non-main character they stuff into screen as, like, a, you know, like, someone they come up across or they go to a town. Like, it's almost, like, 9 out of 10. Like, pretty famous, like, comedic actors and, like, some comedians and all that. Like, it was like their trick, their sleeve. I think, you know, because, like I said, the games are inherently kind of funny and fucked up. Like, it's a very dark sense of humor, and who better to, like, kind of relay that kind of, you know, joke or attitude than, like, a comedian, right?
Yeah.
So it's
good point.
Couple good people that popped up. I was like, oh shit, hello.
Maybe I'll give her a little spin ski. Yeah. There, Matt.
I think you might like it.
Oh, but of course I can't do that until I'm done coaching Samantha through my yearly rewatch, but her first time of Band of Brothers. We're on episode 4.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's she needs to understand the horrors of war. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God, dude.
It's one of the best shows of all time. You've seen it yet or no?
I have not, no.
Yeah, well, you know, there's still time. Don't worry, I'll put you through it at one point. All right. Oh, God, we just took Karen Tan. We lost so many good men there. All right, anyway, I think we can wrap it up here, right?
Can I get one quick thing in?
Fine, dude, whatever.
I did a Nick Cage double bill last week.
Oh, God.
I watched the Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, really enjoyed it, Leanne. I really liked it.
Hell yeah, dude.
Just also like a very fun in and out, like comedic action romp. You know, just it's definitely not what I thought it was going to be. I definitely thought it was going to be like borderline, Everything Everywhere All at Once, but it wasn't.
Sure. No, no.
You know, this, not saying like you kind of led me down that path, but like just the way people talked about it, you would swear like it was like borderline, like a universe hopping movie.
Oh, I see what you mean. Right.
And I'm glad it wasn't. I really enjoyed it.
Pedro Pascal, man, it just proves he can do anything.
He can. He definitely carried. Again, I'm a big Nick Cage fan, but I definitely thought Pedro like completely stole that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Bronson, friend of the show, and I went to go see the new Long Legs movie.
Oh, Christ.
Dude, I have not been genuinely fucking scared in a movie theater in a long time.
That's why I don't watch those movies, dude.
You would actually... No, you wouldn't like this one.
No, I would not. I can guarantee I wouldn't.
You like Seven, right? Like David Fincher, the Seven? Fincher, or Zodiac?
Yeah.
It has more in line with that than like, you know, It or like a... Or
never seen It. Won't.
Yeah. I regret seeing those.
You're like, actually, now that I think about it, I am still upset about that.
But no, I gotta say, Long Legs, probably one of my favorite movies of the year so
really?
Far.
Really? That good?
Bronson, it's just one of those things like we're after the movie we're talking and like the first thing we're like the sound design, bro.
Yeah, dude. Fucking but no, nerds.
genuinely the sound design was like very good usage of like nothingness and then like slowly fade in and fade out. There was a shot in this movie and I laid into bed and I was just like, please don't see that in my sleep. Just don't. I was like, I really don't want to see it. Like, just don't. Yeah. And thankfully, I haven't, but... got me good.
Dude, this is very awesome. Obvious in retrospect, but I guess probably part of the allure of a lot of the horror thriller movies in general is, like, a lot of them, to your point about sound design, are often probably, like, really technical and really impressive from, you know, audio engineering perspective or whatever else. If only I could sit through them. I think I saw, and this was years after it was made, I think the last horror film I saw was probably the first Paranormal Activity.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, you know what? Like, that was so good, but so frightening that I think I've had enough of this genre.
Really, eh? Just, like, completely knocked you out?
Yeah, and also as a kid, this is fair... As a kid, I saw two movies, probably three, way too young.
Sure.
I saw The Exorcist, and then The Ring, and then The Grudge when they came out. And
those are big. I remember in high school.
Those were like major movies, yeah. And they were also, I think, a really big leap forward in just makeup.
Yeah.
And the imagery in those movies, I remember, just haunted me throughout my teens.
Yeah.
And I never really... I do get the allure. Like, I am a fucking TV and movie person, obviously. But I just never found the fun in it. Though, I don't know. Like,
but you've watched like Hereditary and Midsommar, like the Ari Aster movies?
No.
Oh, David.
No, David! No, like, absolutely not. But really? But those movies are not for the record. That's just out of like just laziness and not getting around to it. Like, I don't need... Are those horror movies? I don't even know.
I'm not trying to like sound up my own ass, but I think those kind of fall under like the cerebral horror a little bit. Like,
sure.
There's more. Well, it's, you know, like they're... Oh my God! Wait, next time we're all together, you should ask Leanna about those movies. She loves those movies.
Oh, really?
But okay. Yeah. Leanna, every year our tradition, we try and do like a double bill on Halloween night and watch something new, and or we watch a classic. But no, I don't know. Like the Ari Aster movies, like they're trying to tell something more, and it's like imagery is like a big thing. It's not necessarily like slashers or anything like that, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, I like those types of movies because it kind of feels, Long Legs is in a similar situation where like you feel like you're getting a full package. Like you're getting a great soundtrack, you're getting beautiful imagery, you are getting the fucking jumps, you're getting the scares, you're getting the violence, you know, you are getting the, you know, just like the tone that, you know, only a horror movie can really kind of land for you, you know? Yeah. Like, they are so inherently themselves. But I don't know, man. I think Midsommar would be like the least horror-y. It's more thriller.
That was supposed to be like an artsy movie too, no?
Yeah, they're all artsy. Like the you know, Hereditary, The Witch, like you know, like
does The Witch have Daniel Radcliffe?
No, The Witch has
that's what's your name to look
there?
It up.
Furiosa just... there.
Oh.
No, Spring I don't Queen. Know her. Yeah. Her. But yeah, no, The Witch.
Anya Taylor Joy.
Anya Taylor Joy. That was the one. I think that actually, I was telling Leanna that. I said the last time a movie fucking stuck with me, where I was like thinking about it, like, man, like I'm gonna have, like, I remember we finished watching The Witch, and I told Leanna, I was like, I don't think I'll ever be able to look at a goat the same way again.
Interesting.
Okay. And so this is the same thing. There's like, you know, I don't think I can look at. Yeah. Anyways, but.
Maybe Midsommar. I remember hearing about that and being intrigued.
I would hold your hand through that one, but I would go through the journey with you. Horror movies, in my experience, never solo.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hell yeah, I'm not a crazy person.
I also get quite scared.
But yeah, I'm just a scared little boy at the end of the day.
I enjoy the scare.
Yeah,
it's
don't.
A good heartbeat. My brother's the same way. He's like, no fucking way, dude.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those were okay. I'm glad you snuck those in and for the ensuing conversation. So we'll see. We'll see on Midsommar. Maybe I can do that. We've been trying to watch more movies lately in general. So I think maybe perhaps we can get that.
Seriously,
one.
even if not with me, like if you and Sam did Midsommar, I would be surprised if you guys didn't walk away with at least something out of it.
Oh, she's worse than I am. She's a fraidy cat. We only can watch movies when there's still light out. But we'll see. I'll get back to you on that. But okay, thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Check us out on Instagram, parttimeattackingpodcast.com, or on TikTok.
Grant, go ahead, say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Bang.